It was during the war between the North and the South on the Korean Peninsula, where Christian preachers were targeted by the communists. This is an interesting story for the first Sunday of Advent. In such a tense situation, a group of 40 communist activists kidnapped a preacher and his wife and two children. They took them to the outskirts of the city where they were, and they forced the preacher to deny Christ, and that he will no longer preach Christ to the area. But the preacher refused. They threatened him, saying that they would bury him, his wife and his children, alive. The preacher did not budge, as if to prove that they were serious. They started digging a hole right in front of him and his family. But they could not get a word out of him. This aroused the group's anger. They continued digging the hole and eventually placed the four of them in the hole. And they began playing with the preacher's emotions. Because of your stubbornness, your innocent children are going to die right in front of your own eyes. Deny Christ and we shall leave you. The preacher did not relent. Finally, they started filling up the hole. The preacher remained unmoved. The hole was filling up gradually. And now the children were about to be covered. Slowly, the preacher started getting shaky. He was torn between his emotions. The cries of his little children moved him, but realizing this, the preacher's wife told him, "Then a little while, we shall all be with our Lord forever. Be bold, do not give up." These words encouraged him, and he did not relent. As a result, the family was buried alive. The news of the tragedy shocked many. Christians of South Korea were shaken. Why did God allow this to happen? The preacher preached about Christ. He was killed. What wrong did his wife and children do? These were their questions. Preachers were confused and found it difficult to answer these questions in the South Korea area. Years rolled by. This was the time of the great revival in South Korea. There was this renowned preacher called, and I'm going to get his name wrong, Paul Yeonji Cho. And he pastored the largest congregation in the world, which I think stands still today in South Korea. One day, the service, a man rose up. This was during a revival service, and told the surprised audience that he was among the 40 individuals who buried the preacher and his family. And he proceeded to tell the details of the incident. He said that he was moved by the courage and the conviction of the preacher who did not deny Christ, even to the point of death. He had wanted to know who that Jesus was. In the process, he had been convicted and had accepted Christ as his Savior. Moreover, all 40 individuals of that incident had at some point in their lives had been saved and were members of this very large congregation. It took many, many years to understand why God allowed this to happen. God used the death of 4 individuals to save 40 more. passage I'm preaching from today is from the Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 to 3. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Later in that chapter, goes on, Isaiah says, I am with you. We hear a lot of people talking these days about hope. But what is hope? What does hope mean? You can get a tidy definition from the dictionary, but a definition isn't the same thing as meaning. Only and often meaning is gathered through experience and through being observed. The pastor and his family from our story this morning, I'm willing to bet, has a deep sense of hope, had a deep sense of hope. I know this wasn't the best story to choose, this first Sunday of Advent, where we focus on hope. You see, the prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of the Savior back in chapter 9. And then this morning we read chapter 43. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. There is no greater hope. We get caught up, though, in this world, and we get distracted from the great hope with darkness and with bad things that go on in our world. Again, the preacher and his family from the story, they were faced with death. They were given a way out. They could have chosen not to die. They could have said, okay, I'm going to stop preaching Jesus. I'm going to stop living for Christ. But that's not what was chosen. The world was pressing down on them. There was a decision to be made. The hope of the world or the hope of glory. What does hope mean? Far more than we can earthly imagine. This family chose the only thing they knew. They remained faithful and knew more than what the 40 people who were burying them knew. They had the hope of God within them. If I'm really honest, there are parts of these scriptures I don't like. I don't like that it says, when you pass through the water. I don't like that I want it to say, when you walk on top of the water. I don't like the part that says, when you go through the fire. Because I want it to say, I'm going to lead you around the fire. It's going to get hot, but not too hot. But that's not what it says. It says, when you walk through them, I will be with you in the midst. You know, Jesus' name, Emmanuel. We just got done singing some songs. O come, Emmanuel. It means God is with us. He is with us in the water, in the fire, in triumph, in tragedy. Even though tragedy has a way of calling it into question, right? Tragedy hits, and no matter what we've read, we say, God, I just don't think you were there. Where did you go? Tenth Avenue North's guitarist, Jeff's sister-in-law, if you don't know Tenth Avenue North, they're a Christian band. They recently wrote a song that has come very near and dear to me. But the sister-in-law, whose name's Ferris, 32, was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. The doctors told her that they could go to England for experimental treatment, and that chemotherapy was going to be intense for at least a year. They didn't know how to process this. They were questioning, God, how could you let this happen? How could you let a bad thing happen to such a good person? Have you ever been there? Mike Donahue, this lead singer, was in the middle of questioning all of this to God when he felt like God questioned him. He said, God, why is this happening? And God returned his question with a question. Why do you call Good Friday Good Friday? And Mike said, what? What do you mean? What's that got to do with anything, God? I'm asking you why bad things happen, and you're asking me why Good Friday is Good Friday. What are you talking about? God repeats the question. Why do you call Good Friday Good Friday? Mike said, because that's what they call it at church. That's what they put on the calendar. God said, I just want to remind you that the Good Friday wasn't the day when bad things happened to a good person, but Good Friday is the day the worst thing happened to the best person. And you call that good. Maybe you call Good Friday Good Friday because you know what happened on Sunday. But don't forget, Good Friday was the worst Friday until Easter morning. So the band wrote the song, I Have This Hope, for Jeff's sister-in-law. They wrote it so that when she started chemotherapy, she might have the promises to listen to. The promises from Isaiah 43. They sent her the demo, and she loved the song. Now fast forward to 3 months. Ferris, who's supposed to be on chemo for 11 to 12 months, 3 months later, they're in the studio about to record the album version of I Have This Hope. So she shows up to the studio, hair falling out. She's weak from the treatment, but sits down on the couch. They're about to hit record. She gets a text message. I don't know how this happens, but from the hospital saying, the cancer is in remission. I know not every story ends with a miracle like this. I want to be sensitive here. But also, I want to say that I believe in miracles. Miracles are always possible. I want a faith that believes God is good, even when I'm waiting for the miracle to happen. I want to believe that God is with me, not only in my triumphs, but in my tragedies, in my weaknesses. I need to look to the cross. I need to listen to Jesus saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? As if to say, even in my doubts, even in my questions, even there, Jesus is with me. I have this hope now that Jesus is everywhere. He's enthroned in heaven. He's chased us all the way down to hell. He's with us always. Do you have this hope in the depth of your soul? Do you have this Christmas hope dwelling inside of you when you pass through the waters, when you go through the fire, when trials and problems come? That Jesus, the hope of glory, is with you. Are you so filled with this hope and promise from Isaiah 43 that you want to be it, that you want to live it? Church, Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. The hope of glory dwells within us through his Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit enables us to be hope, to live hope. Jesus is the hope of God's glory. And we're called to live out that hope in a very dark and broken world. Do we believe Isaiah's words? When you pass through the waters, when you go through the fire, I will be with you. Do we believe? Do we fully believe Emmanuel? God with us. This Christmas season brings something different for each and every one of us, I know. We're all at different points in our spiritual journey. We're all at different places experiencing different things. We all come to this place different and yet the same. But in the midst of wherever we are, experiencing God never changes who he is. Emmanuel. We have the opportunity to be a gift every day. Not just the Christmas season. God gives us the ability to be hope to our family, our neighbors, anyone who we come into contact with every second of every day, people who we encounter. We should be able to see hope, the hope of God within us. Be the gift of hope to the people you encounter. As Pastor Wayne says, your area of influence, by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through you. How can I live out hope? Well, in the same way that Jesus is coming as for the world, for others, it would be inclined, or we would be inclined to think that first way is to do for others. Remember back to the last revival services with Pastor Kerry Willis, one of the services his challenge to us was that the church has left the building. What are the ways we're doing for others in our community? I read a news story recently. A lady paid for the groceries of a veteran who was checking out in front of her. The whole grocery bill. The veteran's response was classic. There is still hope in this world. Presence matters most. No invisible people. Pastor Kerry made up these wristbands, and unfortunately I can't wear it because it like cuts off my circulation. But that's a banner to live by. No invisible people. You can't go throughout your day if you're thinking about no invisible people. And that we're kind of charged with taking hope, being hope to them. To be hope is to live out well the Holy Spirit within inside of you. Also got to remember to pray for others. Be present for others. Share Jesus and what he's done for you wherever and whenever possible. And always be joyful, filled with God's joy. I don't know how anybody can have the Holy Spirit dwelling with inside of them and function in daily living without that joy. There are many things we hope for, but there is only one great hope. His name is Jesus. We have his Spirit within us. We're called to do and be that hope that he brings. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious, loving God, I thank you and I praise you for this first Sunday of Advent. This Sunday where we're drawn to hope. hope in your coming. And that in your coming, Lord God, we have the later part of the story where we're filled with your Holy Spirit, and that we're to take that hope and we're to go. We're to take that hope to the world. Lord God, help us. We all need your help in doing this, Lord God. Be with us this day, this wintry day, first day of December, Lord God. May we be safe as we travel home, Lord. And I thank you and I praise you for each and every person who is here, Lord God. You're an awesome, mighty God. And thank you for this church family. Dismiss us now by your grace. Let's pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.